Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, August 29th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Lloyd Gaines from Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Pastor Gaines.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning, helping us study God's Word.
It's my pleasure.
Well, tell us about Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C.
Well, Peace Lutheran Church was founded 54 years ago. This is our anniversary year, 54th anniversary year. We sit in Northeast Washington, about 2 miles west of the RFK Stadium in D.C., where the Washington team used to play.
Very cool.
Yeah, and so it's a low to middle class community of African Americans in a changing community that Hispanics and the Caucasians are moving back in. So we got a great opportunity to spread the news to new people that are arriving in our community.
What do you love most about being at Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I was at the exec level for 17 years, so I'm back in the parish, so I'm back in the mission field and the front line, and it's just exciting to be in a community of saints who are passionate about sharing the word. We hope to start some tutoring, mentoring for all the kids in the community, and just excited to just be sharing the gospel with so many different people.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to hear that. We are studying 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16 this morning. Any background, any context you want us to understand as we're getting ready to study 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, this chapter is probably the last chapter before transition happens. From the first chapter to this chapter, Paul is really dealing with some concerns for the people of Corinth, and now right at verse 5 in that chapter, he began to talk about the comfort he finds in them, and it changes the whole complex of the book.
Very good. Mm-hmm. We're digging into 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16 this morning. Listeners, if you have questions, you can give us an email. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Be glad to take some questions via email this morning. And let's take a look at that first paragraph. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. We have promises, he says. Since we have these promises, beloved. I love how he greets his audience, beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. What promises do we have that he's referring to here?
Well, he's going back to the promises of forgiveness, the promises of a new life in Christ. He wants them to realize that you cannot be linked to evil. Or your sinfulness that you let go. You got to be able to purify yourselves from every contaminant to body and spirit. So that's what he's looking at, and he says you got the promises of a new life through Christ Jesus.
Anything else about this this opening paragraph here in chapter 7?
Well, we should know it's connected to. It is connected to chapter 6, so it's really more connected there. In fact, I was looking when I'm studying it. It looked like to me verses 1 through 4 is connected to chapter 6 also, when of his concerns that he has for the people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Verse 2: Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts. To die together and to live together. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort in all our affliction. I am overflowing with joy. He takes what sounds like a terrible situation, affliction, says I'm overflowing with joy. Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've taken advantage of no one.
Yeah. Paul is actually said to a couple of times, I'm talking to you like children, like you're my children, and I'm your parent. And so when you discipline your child, it's not always a good thing. And sometimes you got to say to them, give me a hug anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he said. Open your hearts to me. Give me give me affection because I love you. I didn't do it to hurt you. I did it to love you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? My mom used to say, this hurt me more than it hurt you. So it's that thing. And he's saying, yeah, open your heart. Because I didn't do anything wrong to you. I did everything for your good.
Hmm. Make room in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together.
Yeah. This joy that he's saying that, first of all, because you've got to remember, people have been complaining about Paul. You're not acting right. You have wronged us. You have said hurtful things to us. And even somebody called him greedy. And he said, no, you know, look at that. That's no foundation to that. Check my record. I didn't do any of these things. Just open your heart and give us love because we love you.
I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy.
Yeah. This boldness, this thing about being bold and confidence and having confidence in them, is this thing about, he's going to talk about it a little later, but he has heard some good things from Titus, finally. And so now what he was fearing is changed to boldness. I can brag about you more and talk about you more because of what I have heard and found out.
Anything else about verses 2 through 4 before we go on to the next paragraph?
When I'm looking at it, when it goes back to chapter 6, 11, 13, you got to look at that and see that he's speaking to them to open up their hearts. He said, don't restrict us. Again, open wide your hearts to us. And that's how this whole verses are going.
Verse 5, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you. As he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that that letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. All right, so for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within, he says.
Yes. Sometimes as being a preacher, especially, and Paul is not a PC preacher. He's not a politically correct preacher. He's going to preach the law and gospel. So, that's some people reject it. So that's opposition against Paul from the Jews, from unbelievers, from people just don't like what he said. So he's fighting with that spiritually. I'm pretty sure he just feel uncomfortable. And then the fear is that how did this letter really affect you? He's probably just had both of that because he still hadn't heard from Titus or anything about the effect of that letter. So I'm pretty sure he tossed and turned at night and that pressure of people just being opposed to him.
But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. God comforts the downcast, he says.
Yes. And this comfort comes that he finally said Titus showed up. You know, he was traveling. He's trying to meet Titus. Titus wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he still wanted to know, where is Titus? What kind of message can we get? You know, today I'm on the phone with you. Back in the ancient times, they had to wait for the message to come. I'm pretty sure he was anxious about hearing something. And so God sent Titus, and he got comforted because of what Titus would bring.
For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that that letter grieved you, though only for a while. How would a letter grieve his audience, his readers?
Again, I say, I would say Paul wasn't PC. He was going to hit, he saw the sin. He's going to preach. He's a true gospel preacher. That means he taught law and gospel. I'm going to give you the promises of God, but here's the law. Here's what I can condemn you. You're letting the sin run rapid in the congregation. You're even letting this great sin of incest in the congregation live on. Y'all got to do something about this. And it's probably what the people read it hurt them. How could Paul say this? And so it was a tearful, sorrowful letter. It probably wasn't easy to listen to. So that's what happens there with that.
For as it is, I rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. He rejoices because, well, not because they were grieved, but because there was repentance.
Right, right. Because the sorrow was temporary, and the repentance led to salvation. And he got to have joy. I was just thinking about that. Sometimes I come out be at the door welcoming people, and somebody will say, "You really talked to me today." and I'm like, okay, what did I say? Well, it was something I said in the law that hit that person. I wasn't targeting them, but they heard it, and they said, "Yeah, I got to correct that." So that brings joy to, because I didn't do it to get them, that person or any person. But the Lord leads you to speak about a sin or about some wrongdoing, and then that leads hopefully to the right reaction to repentance, and that brings joy.
For you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. There is no loss. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between grief and godly grief, it sounds
right.
like.
Right, right. It said that some people are just sorry that they got caught, you know. And yet, there are some people when you have that sin lifted up, they said, "No, this is just wrong, and I got to change my life." And I like to use the prodigal son's parable, because that one sentence that Jesus said when he came to his senses, and when he get that godly grief, you turn around and you want to go back home. So the same with us. When you get that, that's why I'm not going to be sorry for what I did, because you turned around. So that's what Paul has said.
Looking back over these verses 1-9, mm-hmm. Any other comments before we take a break, and then we'll pick up at verse 10 in a little bit. But any other comments 1-9?
Yeah, I just want to just say that. Again, you get comfort as a leader, and not at the hurting people, but helping guide them to see the right path they ought to be taking. And I think that's what Paul is at right now.
We are studying 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1-16 today with Pastor Lloyd Gaines from Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C. We need to take a quick break, but don't forget, if you have questions, you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Be glad to take some questions. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
While the next broadcast of Law and Gospel is an open mic Friday, we will talk about some of the items that we spoke on Wednesday about Walther's thesis number 7, how Law and Gospel is really messed up when you reverse them. And any of your questions we'll be glad to take.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
What does this mean? to many Lutherans in America. This one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Lloyd Gaines from Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. If you have questions, email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Verse 10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore we are comforted. This is, I think, more of an explanation of what we were talking about earlier, this godly grief versus worldly grief.
Right, right. Because godly grief is a gift that comes from hearing the Word of God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit just come upon you, and you have this gift of saying, I got a chance of salvation if I turn around. So it's the law and the gospel working on us.
Godly grief is the grief that produces repentance, and that's done by the work of God in us. Whereas worldly grief is, well...
Again, worldly grief is more the, oh, I got caught. and you don't think you ought to have gotten caught, so you really is nothing that's want to change your mind. You just try to get smarter not to get caught again, but you always get caught.
Try not to get caught again. That's the old Adam, right?
That's the old Adam.
For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. it's almost talking about punishment as a good thing here.
Yeah, punishment is, we got away from that in our society, but punishment is a good thing. Because I'm from the old school, I got spanked at times, and I remember a professor once told me that I was damaged because I got punished like that, and I said, no, I wasn't damaged because that image of the switch keep me from doing a lot of things today. So it's interesting, but Paul is saying the same thing and says, this punishment was good for you and led you to get on the right path.
At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter.
Yeah, they are trying to exhibit evidence that they are on the right track. So they have the right attitude now, and so they're trying to be innocent, do what's right, and that's what Paul is saying here.
So, although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God.
Yeah. It's interesting. This was interesting to me because Paul's saying, I wrote to you not because of the man, his stepmom or his dad. I'm writing to you as a whole congregation. I need all of you to be on that mythical same page, in one sense, or on the right track, on the right path to salvation. Isn't that interesting?
Therefore, we are comforted, he says in verse 13.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, on therefore we are comforted. He's talking about Titus and himself being comforted with what has happened, that turnaround that's going on in Corinth. It's amazing that when you see a congregation that takes the word and realized they were on the wrong path, and just said, "This is the word of God. We got to change the way we're living, because of Jesus Christ going to the cross for us, spilling His blood for us, and rising for us. We have such a great opportunity of salvation, and we're going to waste it away not taking sin seriously." And they get back on the right track, and they become a mighty church for God. So I think that's what the comfort comes from. Because I've seen the other thing. I've seen the congregation, you go in as a exec, I would have to go in and talk to a church about something. They look at you like, who are you, and how dare you tell us anything? You know, it's interesting when you see the two work. One that said, I'm going to receive this. Paul is the man of God. He has the word of God. I'm going to do this. And someone saying, how dare he talk to us and go on a different course? So I think that's where the comfort comes from.
And besides your own comfort, and besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boasts I made to him about you, I was not put to shame, but just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true, and his affection for you is even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. Besides our own confidence, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all.
Paul demonstrates something that I think pastors of the day, myself included, need to say. I'm not giving up on y'all. You children of God, I'm praying that you are going to take this word, and I'm going to boast about you to Titus, and I'm going to send them that, knowing the condition you in. I'm still going to boast about you. I got confidence in you. And then Titus get there, he's welcome. He sees the change in the people, and it's going on so well that he's refreshed, he's renewed in his spirit. It has to be a great experience to witness that for him.
How is it that one spirit can be refreshed by fellow believers, by the saints?
Well, if these people are truly welcoming, and I know all our churches think they're welcoming churches. So, but when you really are welcoming and refreshed in the day, you know this, you can tell when you go in a church if that's an issue, because the vibe is all low and people not really greeting you and stuff. But if people really refresh in the spirit and renewed, your spirit just lifts up. And I think that's what Titus got. He may have been down. He's traveling on foot or whatever, or donkey, whatever he's doing. He's getting there. He's probably tired. He's probably got in his mind, these people really not going to be good for me. And then yet the whole attitude has changed, and these people are loving, they welcoming, the hospitality is great, and they're receiving the word mightily, and their lives have changed. It had to be renewed.
For whatever boasts I made to him about you, I was not put to shame, but just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true. Everything I said to Titus about you is true.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's saying, and you confirmed it.
Yes, you confirmed it. Yeah. And what he's saying is that they desired to believe the word of God and to do it. One of the challenges that we have for our churches is that not only because we teach the true word, I believe the Lutheran Church teach the true gospel. That means we law and gospel, but how do we truly apply it in our daily lives? One thing to hear, but how do you put it into action? And that's one of the challenges we got right now, putting the word into action.
And his affection for you is even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
What is this fear? What is this trembling of which he speaks? Why would that in today's English, in today's culture, that fear and trembling sounds like a bad thing, that you wouldn't want to fear or tremble before someone. That means that you're afraid of them. You don't want to be around them.
Yeah. I think here is that when you are truly preaching the promises of God, when you're truly preaching the gospel, you got a renewed humbleness in you. Because the gospel that brings in the law shows you your sins, and you realize that you cannot save yourself, that God has to do it. And that's a great fear, not being afraid, but a fear of respect, that this is, we serve a God who loves us so much that he sent his son into the world just for us. And I tremble at that. I just tremble at the thought of having such a mighty God, but a loving God, a spiritual father who loves me that much.
That fear and trembling is a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can catch myself at church sometimes just by reading that I may have a tear in my eye. And just because of, and that's not a bad thing.
I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you.
Yeah.
What is this confidence that Paul has in the Corinthians here that he's writing to? What is this confidence that he has? Why is he rejoicing? Why wouldn't he rejoice in them?
Well, Paul has come, again, at one time he thought the letter, because he even agreed that he wrote the letter, has hurt them, and they're not going to receive me the way I want. When Titus come back and give him the news, the message of what has happened, now Paul, this confidence in the Greek really saying, talking about boldness and speaking about them, he's going to brag about them greater than he did before. Because you have received me as your spiritual father, you now live in out the gospel, so it's that type of thing. So it's just a good thing.
Looking back over the text as a whole, Pastor, this 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 through 16, Paul's letter here, one of his letters to the Corinthians, he talks about joy. Anything you'd like for us to gain as we look at the text as a whole, what would you like for us to walk away from the text with today?
Paul and the Corinthians learned that in spiritual growth, you got to have joy and pain, or pain that turns to joy. That's how growth happens. We're not going to have this, what some preachers want to say, oh, if you become a Christian, everything's going to be good and you're not going to suffer. Baloney, you're going to suffer. There's going to be some pain. But underneath all that, you're going to have great joy, and your joy is in the promises of God. And I think that's what Paul has learned, that's what they have learned, that in our pain and our hurt, God has a joy for us, an unspeakable joy that no one else can give us.
Hmm. What happens when we try to find our joy elsewhere?
You're going to be disappointed. You can't get this love, you can't get this joy, because this joy is this unconditional love from God that only he can give. And if you try to find it, some people try to find it in drugs and alcohol or in material things. And I have people sitting in a congregation trying to find it in different ways, and I have to remind them, what you're looking for, only God can give you, and that's through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Because the cross reveals to us, again, God's demand of the law. And we couldn't handle it. Only he could. And letting his son die for us, rising for us, living for us now, that's where we find the joy. That's where we get our love from. And I'm so happy for that.
And when we try to find our joy in earthly things, those earthly things pass away.
All the time. It just fades right on the way, or rust. You got one of my when I was coming up, my dad had a 65 Buick, what we call a deuce and a quarter, and he loved that thing. and it, but it had a vinyl top. But he really just kind of, that was his idol. You couldn't touch it. You could. And to my mom's joy, the top rusted, and he had to get rid of it. And she said, "Now, what you gonna do now?" And that's kind of what trying to find them those earthly joys. They rust away. So when they rust away and they're gone, what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't find that type of joy, and it don't really bring you joy because the cars, as you know, would bring you headache because every time you think it's running right, something goes bad.
Especially when you finally pay off that car,
right,
or the warranty runs out. That's when, yes, your earthly joy is shattered.
So what you think was a great thing, it turns out to be, you know, it's just another piece of junk that's in my life.
It's affected by the fall, right?
That's
everything
right.
is corrupted by sin and affected by the fall. So don't try to find our joy in these earthly things.
Yeah.
I think it's something we will probably deal with every day of our lives, as long as we live in this flesh, right?
Right, and the flesh is deceiving when we try to find earthly joys.
Just when we think we've conquered it, we find something else.
That's right.
But here we see in this example from Paul's letter that we can be an encouragement to one another to find our joy, our hope in the eternal things, in Christ.
You're right. Right. This word, one of the great things is the word is transformational. And we can get our lives renewed, change, and what we do here for the Lord is eternal. So when I find my joy here in the Lord, that's eternal joy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So nothing like it.
Not like a car that's going to rust or
there you go.
Vinyl that's going to fall apart.
There you go, yeah. So
His love is eternal. It lasts forever. It's something that brings us joy that doesn't end.
That's right. It doesn't end. And thank God it doesn't end.
Going back to verse 4, in all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. In the midst, it's joy that we can have in the midst of the trials and strife and everything else that we face in this world because of the corruption of sin. It's joy that we can still have in the midst of that we can hold on to that joy, that little bit of heaven.
Right here on earth. And I see it. Last week we had a community fair on our parking lot, and we shared the word around people in the community, and people were just happy to see that the Christian church was out here in the community doing something, sharing life and love and things like that. And I think that's what we invited them, of course, to Sunday school and church. But for some of them, you can see a twinkle in their eye that this is what I've been looking for. There were some people who came to church the next day, and they said they were coming back. So hopefully what we shared then will grow in them. So that's what we do.
Well, so glad to hear that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to wrap up. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, with Pastor Lloyd Gaines from Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C. Pastor Gaines, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study the daily New Testament reading today.
Well, thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. God's blessings to you and all the saints there at Peace Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C.
All right.
Thanks so much. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Hope you could join us for that. Good conversation. Is it popular science or is it popular spin? Stick around for more up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.